able, please stand for the reading of God's word. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage. Lord, we ask that you would help us to understand, that you would help us to receive it, to live it out. Lord, we thank you for the work that you're doing in us, and we pray that you would continue, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us in every way. Lord, we love you. We want to serve you. Lord, we ask for your help. Please teach us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week, we saw the consequences of earthly wisdom, and we saw all the sin and the turmoil that we can experience when we choose to sin. And we're reminded once again that sin does not satisfy. Often it is attractive, it's appealing, claims that it will satisfy, but it doesn't. It doesn't. And we saw so many examples last week. I mean, we saw all this conflict and turmoil. Conflict with others as we're trying to fight to get our own way. Conflict within ourselves, just as we wrestle and struggle between the sinful desires of our flesh and our conscience, our knowing what's right, knowing what God wants us to do. And the conflict with God as our sin affects our relationship with the Lord. And you know, when we're pursuing sin, we are acting like an enemy of God. We're acting like an unbeliever. And so we don't go to God in prayer like we should. And if we do, we're really only trying to use him to help serve our personal desires. So what a mess. What a mess we get into when we sin. When we get distracted by the world's wisdom. When we start pursuing our own sinful desires. Really rightly does James call us here adulteresses. In verse 4, you adulteresses, he says. And you know, that the more I thought about that statement, and Carl and I were visiting some after last week, and just how striking that really is, to be called adulteresses. It's so striking, it's so convicting. We always want to think of our sin as something small, something minor. But it's kind of hard to tell yourself that when James is calling you an adulteress. Our sin is a big deal. It's a horrible crime. It's not small and insignificant, but it's huge. It's really an abomination. And so whenever a Christian chooses to sin instead of obedience, we're being unfaithful to the Lord. You know, it's really like if a married woman chooses to give her attention and her affections to someone else, not her own husband. If she's playing the harlot, she's unfaithful. She's guilty of the crime of adultery. It's not a small sin. It's not a small sin. And really, it's exactly what we should think of. It's how we should think of our own sin. It's grievous. It's serious to sin before God. We're being unfaithful to the Lord our God when we sin. You know, when a Christian sins and walks in worldly wisdom, we who are the friends of God are acting as though we're the enemies of God. And it shouldn't be this way. We shouldn't live like that. We shouldn't live like an unbeliever. You know, it's an understatement to say that God is a good husband. You know, He is a jealous husband with a righteous jealousy. He wants His bride. He wants us to be all His and only His. So we must never think of our sin as something small. Our sin is great. When we think of our sin as small, we are headed the wrong direction. We must think of our sin as great. But praise God, we have verse 6 here, as we looked at last week. Although we have sinned, God shows us grace. He is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so James here, he has established that although we are the children of God, we still struggle with sin. This struggle isn't over yet. And he makes the point, our sin is horrible. Our sin is horrible. And it's our fault. I am to blame for my sin. Which brings us to today. Now what? Now what? He has established we are guilty sinners. The title of the sermon this morning is How to Respond to Sin in Your Life. How to respond to sin in your life. James shows us our sin, how serious it is. So how should we respond? How should we react when we sin? Turn with me, if you would, to a familiar story in Luke 15. I'm not going to read the entire story here of the prodigal son, but I want to read at least the first half of it. Starting in verse 11 in Luke 15, it says, "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. and he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' And he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" I'll stop there, but here we see that after the prodigal son had gone away, he had indulged himself in sin. He had lived really by the lusts of the flesh. He spent all his money on his pleasures, and then he finds himself poor and hungry. And so he has to attach himself. He has to basically become a slave. He has to feed these pigs. And while he's there, kind of the lowest of the low, he comes to his senses. And he recognizes what he's done, the foolishness of what he's done. And he admits his guilt, and he makes his plan to return home to his father. And so he went home to his father, and he offered no excuses for what he had done. He wasn't pointing the finger at anybody. He wasn't blaming anybody else. Instead, he just humbly confessed his sin to his father. He admitted humbly, "I'm not worthy to be called your son. I have not behaved like a son." And he asked if he would allow him to be a hired servant. Boy, that's humility, isn't it? That's humility. And what a great example for us as we consider how to respond to sin in our life. You see, how we respond to sin in our life is so important. Will you hide it? Will you blame others for it? Will you try to fix it on your own? Or will you go to God with it? Will you take it to Him? Just like the prodigal son took his sin to his father, we should take our sin to our Heavenly Father. Verse 7 then of James 4 begins, "Submit therefore to God." You see, we must take our sin to God. We must submit. You know, our sin is rebellion against God. And that's what's got us into all this mess and this trouble. And we need to submit to the Lord. We need to come to Him. We need God. And we need to take our sin to Him. This is a humble admission that we need help. That we need help, that I can't fix this mess on my own. I need help. I need you, Lord. And so we go to God in submission. We humbly confess our sin before Him. We say, "Lord, I have done wrong. I have sinned against you. It's my fault. Please forgive me. Be merciful to me." It, as I mentioned, it's rebellion. It's stepping out of line when we sin in disobedience. And we need to humble ourselves. We need to come before God. Cry out to Him, saying, Lord, I want my actions, I want my affections to be brought back in line with You and what You command. I've gone astray. Lord, help me. And really, what I'm describing here is repentance. It's repentance. Now, let me just say that none of this repentance is easy or fun. This is not an enjoyable thing, but it's so necessary. It's absolutely necessary. And it really shows a truly humble heart when we repent of our sin. Repentance is not just going to God and submitting to Him, but what's also involved in repentance is turning away from sin. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We need to resist the devil. We need to stop sinning. Stop giving in to the temptations. When we turn to God, we must turn away from sin. This resisting the devil, this is part of the battle that we're in. It's part of the battle. We cannot act like we're not in a battle. We cannot act like we have no enemies, that we have no weaknesses. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Keep trusting in the Lord. Keep walking in obedience to Him. Keep resisting the devil. Not giving in to sinful desires. Constantly looking to the Lord. Leaning on Him. And so we see this is really speaking of this combination of submitting to the Lord and resisting the devil. Turning to God and turning away from sin. Then verse 8 is similar. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Isn't that really exactly what we saw from the prodigal son as he runs home, drawing near to his father, and his father is watching and waiting. And he's thrilled, and he comes running to meet him, to kiss him, to embrace him. You know, when he came to his senses in the pig pen, he didn't say, you know what, if my father ever comes along, I'm going to repent. I'm going to tell him how foolish I've been. And then he just stays there in the pig pen waiting for his father to come by. No, he left the pig pen. He left where he was at and he went to his father to draw near to his father. And certainly, what a blessing as his father was waiting for him. So happy to see him return. But the point here is that he drew near to his father, and we must draw near to the Lord. Again, this is true repentance, lived out. It isn't just sitting still or waiting on something to change in our circumstances, but taking action. It's action. Draw near to God. Don't wait. Don't wait. The nearness of God is our good. Draw near to the Lord. Well, how do we draw near to the Lord? You know, certainly, and it's not as simple as the prodigal son. He knew where home was. He knew where to find his father. It's a location. He just goes. So how do we draw near to the Lord? Draw near to God in prayer. Draw near to God in His Word. You know, it's amazing to me, over and over in Scripture, God is highlighting and pointing out our need for prayer and to be in the Word. Over and over, passage after passage, we need to draw near to the Lord. You know, make the changes in your life that you need to make to prioritize spending time with God. This is huge. If you haven't been praying, pray. Draw near to the Lord in prayer. If you haven't been in the Word, draw near to the Lord. Get in the Word. If you haven't been at church, get to church. Whatever it is, we need to draw near to the Lord. God is our helper in time of need. When we're struggling with sin, what else should we do but cry out to God and draw near to Him? And He will surely help us. He will strengthen us. He will help us to resist the devil. You know, our God is a loving God who enjoys helping His children. It's not like He is out to get you. It's not like He wants to catch you or punish you. No, He's out to help you. He wants what's best for you. He wants to bless you. And so we need to draw near to the Lord. When we go astray, when we sin, draw near to the Lord. Cry out to Him. Draw near to Him. He will draw near to you. Then it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Just like the previous verse, James first points us to God and then deals with our sin. Our hands here are representative of our actions, how we've been living. It hasn't been clean, it hasn't been right. So He's calling us to wash our hands. Reform your actions. Clean up your life. Stop living in sin. And then really the same calling for our heart and our minds. You see, we need to weed out the sin in our life. It's not something to be managed, but something to turn away from, something to get rid of. Not just the sinful acts, but the sinful thoughts, the desires of our heart and our mind that we entertain. Also, this is not separate, this is not detached from the first half of the verse. As we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. He helps us in this battle. He helps us along the way as we fight against sin. God is so great and God is so personal. He's personal. He not only paid for our sins on the cross, but He also helps us each day in our daily battle with sin. We must we must understand how approachable God is. Yes, our sin is serious. Yes, a holy God is terrifying in many ways. And yet, He is a loving God that we can go to, that we need to go to. We need to draw near to Him. Also, this isn't a once and done thing. This is a relationship. This is a personal relationship with God. We're not to draw near to the Lord once, and then we're good. But we continually draw near to the Lord, continually seeking Him, and continually seeking to turn away from sin. We must continue to cleanse and purify our lives and our hearts. Really, this is continued humility that we are called to. Here we see we're called, you sinners, you double-minded. We're humbled in our sin and the error of our way when we choose to sin instead of obey. It's double-minded. For someone who is the friend of God, for the children of God, to act like pagans, to act like an unbeliever. So what we see here in both 7 and 8 is an active pursuit of God. It's an active pursuit of Him and an active fight against sin in our life. Now, I think it's important here to say that although God is at work, no one's denying God is at work in ways we don't even realize. Nonetheless, 7 and 8 are a call for action upon us. And my only point here is really that in humility and submission to God, humility and submission does not mean that we just sit idly by, waiting for God to come along and clean up our mess and rescue us out of the mess that we've made. But in response to our sin, we repent. We cry out to God. We draw near to Him. Pursue Him actively. Fight against sin actively. The description here is not sitting around in the pig pen waiting for someone to help. It's leaving the pig pen and drawing near to the one who can help. Verse 9, be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Sin is so serious. I think of Psalm 73 I mentioned earlier, and how, you know, so often for the pagan, sin is just it's a laughable matter. It's nothing serious. It's all just fun and games in a way. But here we see more of how we should respond to sin in our life. It's not to be taken lightly. It's not a laughing matter. Sin is not a joke. And one who is truly repentant of their sin isn't amused by it any longer, but rather broken over their sin, grieved over how they have behaved, what they have done, how they have thought. The humble, repentant sinner is truly sorry for what they've done, ashamed of themselves, and that they tried to take pleasure in something evil. And all this misery, this mourning, weeping, gloom that's mentioned here, this is evidence of a genuinely humble person feeling the weight of their sin and seeing it really for as serious as it really is. Then verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Humility is key. Humility is key. You know, as Cole mentioned last week, I was thinking more about how just the foolishness of man in living life and for ourselves, and the goal is to honor and glorify myself, to exalt myself, and how Christ changes that so that then we live to glorify him, to exalt him. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. First of all, be humble. And second of all, be in God's presence. Be in God's presence. Seek the Lord and draw near to him. Humble yourself before him. God will show you grace. He will exalt you at the proper time. What does that mean? Does it mean that God is going to clean up your mess, that you won't have to suffer any consequences for your sin? No, not at all. But he will be faithful to you. He will help you. He will bless you. How foolish we are. How foolish we are. When we seek the pleasures of this world. And even as Christians, we struggle. We struggle with setting our affections on the things of earth. And it really steals our joy. The joy that we should have in all the glorious heavenly blessings that are ours in Christ. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. So in conclusion, part of our struggle with sin that this passage is speaking about is really the struggle with trying to serve two masters. It just doesn't work. When we try to serve our own pleasures and indulgences, it's sin. And it hurts our relationship with God. On the flip side, when we serve the Lord and our focus is on bringing him glory, it helps us in our battle with sin. We can't have it both ways. We can't have it both ways. We cannot live in sin and walk closely with the Lord. Sometimes we struggle more with sin than what we'd like to admit. But the solution is consistently the same. Draw near to God, fully trusting him, fully leaning on him to help you. And turn away from your sin. Don't give in. Fight against it. We see here one mark of a true believer is not that we will never sin, but that when we sin, we will repent of our sins and draw near to God. You know, God is always the solution. He is our help. You know, sometimes I think it's almost like we forget how much he loves us. I know, it sounds silly to say that, but it's almost like we forget how much he loves us. That yes, you messed up. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to draw near to Him. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to cry out to Him. He is our help. I love the story of the prodigal son coming to his senses, and he knew just what to do. He had a relationship with his father. You know, I find it interesting at the beginning of that story, he tells his father, "Give me this money." But he has this relationship with him. And when everything's gone wrong, and he is disappointed in himself, and he knows he has messed up, he knows where to go. To go home. Go back to my father. Draw near to my father. Yes, it's humbling, but it's where he went. It's where we need to go. The same is true for us as we go astray. How should we respond to sin in our life? Go home. Go where we belong. Draw near to God. Draw near to the Lord. We are His. We belong with Him. And so we go to Him in humility, and we confess our sin, and we cry out to Him for help. And He is faithful, even when we aren't. And He helps us, and He blesses us as a loving Father would. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we thank You for being such a loving and forgiving God. Lord, we thank You for these instructions. Lord, we don't like to admit that we still sin. Lord, we don't like to humble ourselves. But Lord, we thank You so much for these instructions. We thank You so much that You are a loving God, that You are a Father who cares, that You love us and care for us even when we sin, that we can come to You. Lord, I pray that we would draw near to You more and more. Lord, that when we find ourselves going astray to some degree, that we would draw near to You, that we would see our need of You and come to You. Lord, we thank You for Your help in our life. We thank You for that we have You as we battle through this world, through this life. We thank You that we are not alone. We pray, Lord, that we would honor You with our lives, that we would not be living lives of seeking our own will or seeking our own desires. Lord, that we would be, that we would live humbly before You, that we would seek to glorify You in every way. And Lord, we ask that You would help protect us from sin, that You would keep us from it. Lord, we thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.